Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 19th Hole Golf Show. I am Ryan Ballengee. It's good to have you here with us. Our Masters preview series continues this week with Clark Burrows, who, if you know our show a little bit, we've had Clark on several different times over the last couple of years. He is a former Ohio State standout collegiate golfer. He played in the Masters in the 70s, and so he has a good amount of experience at high-level golf, and he also has a very good idea of what's going on in golf betting. And as you know, we are sponsored by BetDSI.com, and we use their odds each and every week for our PGA Tour, LPGA Tour, European Tour, all the tours' odds posts, and we use them because of the information that we get is extremely good. It's accurate. It's timely, real-time information, so you can get a sense of where the money is moving, how the odds are affected. Even if you can't bet legally, it's great for fantasy golf players to have. So we love having Clark on because he has insight into Augusta National. He has insight into thinking about players, analyzing them, assessing them. And so we wanted to have him on to talk about the matchups, how guys are playing, where you might want to lay your money for the Masters. So enjoy that conversation we recorded earlier in the day with Clark.
Clark, thanks for coming back on with us. It is always great to have your perspective as we kind of think about our last-minute Masters bet, picks, pools, all that stuff. So let's start with the outright news headline, the weather. We've got winds 20 to 25 miles per hour the first 2 days, probably mid-60s in temperature, and then the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, ideal weather, 70, 75 degrees. We talked about this a little bit before we hit record, but you think that the wind is going to bring more guys into this tournament. I think less. So why do you think more guys will be in play?
I just think it's going to play with the wind blowing 20, 25 the first 2 days. I do agree that some guys are going to blow themselves out, but some guys that are really good are going to blow themselves out too. And I think that the shorter hitters are actually going to be at an advantage because the wind – It's going to affect everyone, but it's going to help the majority of the field, because if they can shoot a 74, they're going to be right in the hunt. And if the weather's perfect, then the big ball hitters are going to have a big advantage, and then like six or eight guys can win. I don't know. I just think that the wind, you know, if it does blow 20 to 25 miles an hour, I just think that it's going to give more people a chance to win. It's just my feeling.
And there's a part of me that says, hey, you're right, Matt Fitzpatrick got up in there at the end last year,
though, right?
Well, the final round was pretty good, but the third round was terrible.
Yeah, that's right.
And so he played pretty great on the weekend and finished, what, top five? And
seventh.
I wouldn't have thought that.
Yeah, no, but he's a great putter. See, it's going to bring all them great putters. I just think that it's going to equal the field. I don't know why. I don't know. When the wind's blowing that hard, it just, you're right. People are going to blow out, but some good players, some elite players might blow out too, you know? So,
I think
that helps a guy. Perfect example is just what you said, that Matthew Fitzpatrick. He's kind of got a game like a Zach Johnson, right?
Yeah.
I mean, well, not anymore, because Zach Johnson switched irons to that PXG. We'll save that for another day, because I'm really down on that PXG. I don't know. I just think that it'll make everybody on an equal playing ground a little bit more so than if it was, 10 miles an hour wind and the bombers of the ball got a huge advantage then. But, if the wind's blowing 25, it's going to make it really, really tricky. And I think if you can get a guy Matthew Fitzpatrick or, Jason Duffner that don't really hit it that far, that are going to be more in the mix. That's just my thoughts.
So I kind of think about the guys with the wind as kind of maybe three categories. Short hitters, which you kind of all lump them together, whether they hit it high or low. Long hitters, whether you hit it high or low.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think the long guys that hit it low that also – or that hit it high – are Jason Day and Rory McIlroy that come immediately to mind. So where do you assess their chances given the wind and their ball flight?
I think that I've heard that Rory had some good practice sessions last week, and actually they played in weather that was kind of similar to what it's going to be tomorrow. On last Thursday and Friday, I think it was nasty in Augusta. And I think he's going to do well. I don't know. It's Dustin Johnson. You know, everybody's on him, and it's hard not to be with three straight wins. I don't know. I think he's down. I don't think he's going to be in the mix as much as people think. I think I like McIlroy. How can you not ever like McIlroy every week, you know? But
right.
His putting, you know, has been an issue, and his chipping. But I don't know. I think he got into some – I think a lot of these guys nowadays – are going early and playing, you know, they're 18 or 27, you know, last week, and then this week they're kind of just playing nine holes here, nine holes there, and resting and saving the energy for the weekend. And back in the day, you know, you'd go there and you'd play 18 Monday, 18 Tuesday, and, you know, maybe even 18 on Wednesday. It's kind of changed. But I think Rory's, you know, I think a guy named like Justin Rose will do well. I think a guy like Paul Casey, I think those English guys would do well if the wind is, you know, up like they say it is.
Yeah, those are two guys I think are kind of sneaky good picks because they finish well in the Masters. I mean, Casey's got, what, back-to-back top six finishes. Rose has a string of good finishes. And they know how to handle the wind.
And I'll tell you another guy that was really, when I was doing my research, that really surprised me was Sergio Garcia. In 18 Masters appearances, he's only got two top tens.
Yeah,
now,
that
surprised me. You know, I thought he...
That shocked me. It should be his kind of place. I mean, it's a ball striker's paradise.
And then that Henrik Stenson's the same boat.
He would be perfect.
But both, guess what? Both have one common denominator. What's that? They don't putt well, right?
Bad putting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they aren't very good putters. And Stenson, you know, his record's even worse than Sergio's. So in the matchups, when we get to that, I like fading both of those guys. I think Casey's
going to... What do you think about
guys
like Rahm and Hatton? Maybe Fleetwood, Peters, first-timers. What do you think about those guys? Obviously, we haven't had a first-timer with
them. Last time a first-timer won was in 1979, and his name was Frank Urban. Fuzzy Zeller won. I think he beat Ed Snead, a former Buckeye, in a playoff.
He did, and Tom Watson.
Was it a three-man?
It was.
Did Tom Watson fade out after the first hole or something?
I don't remember that one.
I think it came down to Snead and Zeller. But I don't know. I don't think, you know, a guy like Rahm, he doesn't even care. You know, it seems like he's just carefree, kind of like Dustin Johnson is, right? I mean, he's number one in the world, but he doesn't really care about being number one in the world. I mean, he's not like, oh, I finally got to number one in the world. You know, he just kind of plays it off. And both those, like Rahm, doesn't matter where he tees it up, he plays well, right? And
he's pretty much immune to a course.
Comes out and says he's one of the best players in the world, I'm buying it because Phil never really, you know, gives too, you know, not that many compliments. So,
if you're on the Phil train, if you're in his group, he loves you.
I think Rahm will do well. I'm not so sure about Peters. And I love that Tyrrell Hatton.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I mean, I've been promoting him for like a year.
No one seems to notice about Pat.
No, but every time you look up on Sunday, he's in the top five.
and they're not backdoor top fives, by the way. They are.
He played in the last group with Ricky Fowler at the Honda.
Yeah.
And no, I like his. You know what? Tyrrell Hatton is. Next time you see him swing, think about Lee Westwood. They have the same swing.
Yeah.
But guess what? Hatton can chip and putt. Whereas if Westwood would have been able to chip and putt, he'd have two majors by now.
At least. He might have five.
Right. But, if you look at that Hatton and the follow-through and then you took a Westwood, you think, whoa, is that Lee Westwood like 20 years ago? Because it's the same swing.
It is.
Same results, really. I mean, they both stripe it.
Yeah, they're great ball strikers, both of them.
And then that Hatton, he can chip and putt. I've seen that guy get it up and down a lot, you know, as little as I've watched him. But That's the thing that caught my eye. He swings just like, I bet you he probably was a Westwood fan growing up and modeled his swing after Westwood, because it's like the same, man.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know. These first-timers, you know, like Rom, he just doesn't really care. You know, I mean, he came in late. He doesn't even really care about how much preparation he gets. And, you know, Tim Mickelson's his agent, so Phil's probably helped him out a little bit. You know,
right.
Record, hit it here, hit it there, don't hit it here. Probably helped him out a little bit. Probably not fully, because Phil still wants to win. But, you know what I mean? Probably hold some insight for about another 5 years when he's done, or 10, or whenever he finishes. But, I don't know, that's a good question. First-timers, you know, how well will they do? I think that Rom will probably do all right. I don't think that Peters is a very good pick this week for some reason. I don't know.
I think he's too much of a hothead. He's too emotional, and he can't. When it goes sideways, it goes bad.
Way sideways, yeah. He hits it crooked, doesn't he, sometimes? But I'll tell you what. Those Europeans are making their mark, I think.
Yeah, well, they're basically a third of the field.
Tommy Fleetwood, too. Right?
Yeah, Fleetwood's playing great.
Yeah.
Good short game.
Yeah, he does. Scrapes it around sometimes. But I'm telling you, they've got a lot of good young players.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is a tournament where you get a guy in his 20s again winning the Masters, and I think they're all the favorites.
Who do you like in the tournament?
If you had to
pick three guys, who are you taking?
If I want some value, I guess I'd take Hatton, because you can get him pretty well right now.
Right.
And then you kind of got to pick between DJ, Spieth, and Rory, right? I mean, take two or three.
Yeah. How's Spieth going to handle all that mental struggles with the 12th hole? You know, I guess he's mentally strong, but still got to affect him.
They've all got a flaw. DJ sometimes can't putt, but he's been great at putting for a year and a half. Rory can't putt, and he always throws up a high number somewhere in the middle of the tournament.
77 last year, third round.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's always one round in the tournament where it's a dud.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Spieth, who could be a head case, and we don't know it yet.
I like Mickelson.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime they play at Augusta, I like Mickelson because, what's he won, three times?
Yeah.
And, you know, no weather's really going to affect him. I mean, he's seen it all. His game, you know, it's okay. He's been making a lot of, you know, others, a lot of birdies and a lot of others, kind of like Ricky Fowler plays.
Yeah.
I like
clean it. Those two guys got to clean it up.
I like, yep, exactly. I like that Justin Rose.
Yeah.
I think he'll play well. I don't think Stenson or Garcia will play well.
Who's your best value on the board? I mean, we've got, you know, DJ,
like
Rory, Spieth, Day.
I like Schwartzel, like 70 to 1.
Yeah.
Even though he plays those stupid PXG irons. You got a couple sets? Did you buy some for, that's a good birthday present for your one-year-old, $5,000 set of irons. That's what they
call
it. Custom
fit, Italy. They're custom fit.
I don't get it. I just don't get it. How can a set of irons, I mean, if you can go, you can go get a nice set of Titleist or Ping for $1,000, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
These are $5,000. And let me tell you, that Zach Johnson, since he switched, he can't break an egg. He shot more rounds in the 40s this year than he did all last year. He has. He shot 40, 42, 41. Watch and see. It's amazing. And
sometimes
those
equipment switches for money don't work out.
And look at Brooks Koepka. He had to switch equipment. How's he doing? Yeah, sure, he finished, got beat in the quarterfinals of the match play, but that's not stroke play where, you know, in match play he could count his usual eight and only lose one hole.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? But I've been monitoring, I've been on that in my podcast, is these guys, you know, the Nike guys really didn't have a choice, right? They had to switch. Yeah. But a guy like Zach Johnson, why would he ever switch?
I don't know. He's, I mean, at that point in his life.
Yeah, he took the money and run, right?
Right, right. He got his two majors and he took his money.
Yeah. So you can't really fault him for that. But, you know, like Rory, he had to switch, but he's playing a mixed bag. He's got
TaylorMade clubs this week.
And he's got a little bit of assortment like we used to back in the day, you know, where he'd have, you know, maybe some Titleist wedges and then, maybe a Ping 3-wood or, you know, whatever. I like that. I really like that.
I like that he's willing to kind of say, okay, this is what I want to do this time, and this is for this course, and this is for this situation, and he can do it.
Well, he doesn't need the money either, right?
Nope.
So he just says, heck with it. I'll just play whatever clubs I want. And I like that. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just like it.
All right, let's go over some of your favorite prop bets. You know, BetDSI has all the prop bets, anything that you can think of, matchups, winners, all that good stuff. What are your three favorite prop bets?
I like the top Korean. I guess that would be a golf prop. They have Ben On, Wang, and Kim. I like Ann to win that. There's only three players, and you're getting pretty good value at plus 140.
Good deal.
Here's one for both of us to discuss. How many strokes under par will the winner finish? 1 to 5 strokes under, 6 to 10, 10 or better, even par or worse. I kind of like the 1 to 5 at plus 300.
Not a bad deal.
What do you think about that one?
I mean, we could have the leader at even par going to the weekend.
When, last year?
No, we could this year with all the wins.
Right. So do you think somebody will break par? There's no way it's going to be 10 under.
Yeah, that seems a stretch.
I think it'll be 1 to 5.
The average winning score is 8 under. So...
Right.
You either got to think you're below average or above. You're not going above, so you only have to cover 6, 7, and 8 under to get the 1 to 5, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to be 1 to 5, and I think you're getting good value at plus 300. I don't
know. Good deal. Yeah, I like that.
The wind. I mean, I don't think it'll be over par. Do you?
No, I think that's a little stretch.
I think maybe like last year. What one? Like 200.
It was five. I think it was five.
Really?
Yeah.
Who, Willett?
Yeah, I think it was
five. One hit. I call him one hit wonder Willett.
He's lucky to have the one hit.
He isn't going to break an egg, man. Yeah, he is lucky. And then his brother went off on the Americans after the, you know, before the Ryder Cup, just left a bad taste in my mouth. I've been ragging on him all year. He hasn't played worth beans all year.
No, he knows he won a major by a fluke, and he's trying to spend the rest of his life proving that it wasn't.
Yeah, there's some other props that I like. What will the highest score of the, you know, like one guy makes? And you could have got it 8. Like if a guy makes a 9, you win. And now they raise it to 8.5, which really doesn't matter because somebody's going to make a 9.
Yeah.
If that wind blows, and that wind blows, and some of these amateurs are, you know, somebody's going to be standing there hitting 3 balls in the water.
Larry Mize.
You know, but that Larry Mize usually plays good in that. I bet you he made the cut last year.
He does make the cut sometimes.
Yeah, doesn't he?
He
does. How about the top senior player? Who do you like, Stricker or Couples or Langer?
Man, that's actually a really tough one this time.
Yeah,
Freddie
always plays good there. Langer always plays good there. And Stricker's the youngest one and playing pretty good.
Langer had a chance to win last year. I mean, that's crazy. I would think Langer by default, but Stricker's
the favorite. And then Freddie and Langer. You know, Zormira, too, he's made the cut a few times as a senior.
Yeah, but he's getting up there.
Yeah, he is.
I would say Langer. I mean, you probably get good value on him.
I think you get like plus 350. Langer, Couples, maybe. I don't know. That Stricker, he's pretty damn good, too, you know?
Finished tied for 4th in the Open Championship. He won the B flight, basically.
Yeah. And his seniors, champions debut, I think he's finished 2nd or something.
Yeah. Lost the playoff last week. And
did he lose the playoff last week?
Yeah, the Jimenez. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Didn't Durant?
Jimenez beat
it wasn't Durant, huh?
It wasn't Durant. Gene Sowers.
Oh, yeah, Gene the Machine, yep.
So he's been in there, Stricker finished third. Yeah, he was a shot out of the playoff.
Yeah, and then the first time he played, he was leading by three, and Lehman beat him. He was 19 under, and Lehman was 20 under at the Conquistadors in Tucson.
Yep. So he's playing good golf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. He's he pretty much looks the same as he did like 20 years ago. Stricker.
He really hasn't changed.
But you know what I was looking at the other day? Or yesterday, I was watching highlights of the 97 win of Tiger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, man, his body changed so much. It reminds me of Barry Bonds. If he had just stayed long and lanky and wiry, he'd still be playing today.
He'd still be winning today.
Yep, that's right. I mean, it's just like Barry Bonds. When Barry Bonds was a rookie or whatever, he used to steal 30 bases.
Yeah.
He was long and lanky, and then, I don't know. Tiger, these days, I saw him in an interview, he's got no hair, and he just looks old to me. You know?
He looks 47, not 41, yeah.
Yeah, man, yeah, exactly, maybe even 50.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And I think DJ's got the right idea. He doesn't lift any weights.
Yeah, he does all Pilates and core and stuff like that.
Yeah, so that'll probably be, you know, Tiger was into the lifting weights, and now we're seeing that didn't really work out, right?
Because it didn't really help him.
Can't even hardly walk, right?
Rory and Jason Day get hurt routinely while they're doing it.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. That's a great point. And that's what, DJ, does he ever get hurt?
No.
He just needs to stay away from the party, and that's all.
Yeah, and he's figured out how to do that. That's good for him.
Yeah, I mean, so there you have it. I mean, Tiger, he set the pace working out, but he did it maybe arguably the wrong way. You know, now DJ, he said, well, I need to work out, but I'm not going to do the weight, so maybe that is the right way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think if Tiger went too hard on the weight, DJ maybe a little, maybe not too light, but he's found something that works for him.
There's a medium there. He's unreal, that DJ. But who's
just hard to imagine the guy winning four in a row?
I know. Well, the last player to do that is Tiger Woods, right?
E-Dub.
I think he won five in a row.
It was five, yeah.
I think he probably did it multiple times.
He did. He had a five. He had a six. He had some threes.
Yeah, he was unreal. It's just a shame that he can't play.
I'd like to see him just one more run. That's all people want is one more run.
Yeah, but I don't see it. Do you?
No, I don't.
I mean, the last time I saw him play, I woke up at like 3 in the morning or something at Dubai, and he played 9 holes.
Yeah.
Remember, and then the wind came up, and then he withdrew. But it was painful to watch because he couldn't even hardly get out of the bunkers. You could see
him. He could barely walk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was. And then I was excited at the start of the year because I thought maybe, you know, he's going to play here, he's going to play there. And then just all went up in flames. So I hope that, you know, he comes back, or maybe he'll just be the permanent Ryder Cup coach or captain, you know. But
maybe.
Getting back to the Masters, what about these matchups? Did you see anything in those?
All the Dustin Johnson matchups intrigue me.
But he's because, a big favorite in them now.
Yeah, he's a huge favorite. I would take the underdog in all of them.
Really?
Because if he stumbles, you get great pay.
Yeah, against Jason Day, you can get plus 160. What about Matsuyama? We haven't talked about him. He's kind of fizzled lately,
Fizzled, yeah. I'm cool on him. I mean, he's obviously a great ball striker, and he can play great, but he's not my top 10.
Right. I like that. I took Phil Mickelson over Garcia.
That would almost be a lock to me.
Yeah, he only had to lay minus 120. I'm just not too keen on this Koepka.
I would bet against Koepka.
You don't like him either?
No, he's just too erratic. He's like Fowler. He puts up a 7 or an 8 every round.
Yeah, he's against Bubba Watson. He's against Louis O. He's against Brant Snedeker. He's against Schwartzel. He's against Leishman. Leishman's a guy who could play well.
Leishman won it.
He won the Arnold Palmer. He played good at the match play. And
he's got good form. He's a sneaky value.
He's had a top five at the Masters before. I think he tied for fourth one year in 2013. But that Koepka, he's missed like four cuts of his last seven tournaments. The only time he played well was in the match play. And you don't really know how good they're playing in that.
Yeah, and I was told he broke up with like a girlfriend or something, so he's kind of in the tank about that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't know how true that is, but that might explain a lot of things.
Well, I had a buddy who's at the Masters. He was out there Tuesday, and he says DJ and Koepka were playing a practice round again. I guess they're buddies.
Yeah.
Just those two were playing. And let me see these other matchups I like. I'm glad that you agree with me on that Koepka. I mean, I don't know. It's Schwartzel, he doesn't get any love.
He's going to quietly finish like T12.
Do you think?
Yeah, and then no one will be even thinking about him until they look at the final result.
I'll tell you another guy that's not playing good, that's got some real issues, and I really like him, but it is what it is, that Patrick Reed. I don't know what's
he's
happened
lost
to
something.
Him. He's lost something, is right.
And I don't know what the answer is, but he's lost something.
And he's up against Mark Leishman, and I like Leishman.
I would shove a lot of money on Leishman in that one.
Now here they have Koepka against Reed. That's a good one. That's the only one they should be in, right? And here's where else is this? Patrick Reed against Fitzpatrick. Now they've got Brooks Koepka minus 180 against Fitzpatrick. You can get plus 150 on Fitzpatrick.
Ooh.
I kind of like that.
That's a very niche play, but I like it.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on this Koepka, but the way I've been seeing him play, and now that you're telling me that his girlfriend broke up with him, you know, he's probably. He's probably got maybe a fragile mind like Sergio did. Remember when Greg Norman's daughter broke up with him?
Wrecked him for a year.
He couldn't play for a year, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I even like fading that Koepka more now that you told me the scoop about his girlfriend. You know, that's not easy if you're, you know, with a girl. And I mean, it just depends on the type of person. You know, some guys are like, all right, next.
Yeah,
but
we forget these guys are human beings that are all a little different. They're not machines.
Yeah, and they have feelings and they get hurt. And so, man, I really like that going against that Koepka now. I mean, I didn't know all that. I like Justin Rose over Matsuyama.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And I heard that Jimmy Walker's fighting
Mono.
Yeah, you heard the same, huh?
Yeah, he's apparently dealing with it for months.
I know. So what the heck is he even doing playing?
Apparently he's not. He didn't get his kid sick, so I guess he figured why not do it at the Masters.
He's paired up against Lee Westwood.
Ooh, that's tough.
Lee Westwood, you never know with him. Hell, he almost won the tournament last year, right?
Yeah, he almost walked through the back door.
And he can't chip from here to the door. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I could teach my girlfriend how to chip better than him in like a month. She doesn't even play. Right? I mean, man, when I think of Lee Westwood, I think of like chili dip.
Yeah.
But he can stripe that ball, man.
He can keep it under the wind and everyone else plays poorly. Maybe.
I mean, I don't know. I kind of like him against after I heard that the guy has mono. I like Charlie Hoffman against Danny One Hit Wonder Willett.
I would like anybody against Willett.
I like him on the stroke line, the minus 1.5 strokes, because otherwise you have to lay like 170. Mm-hmm. And my buddy
said I could see that.
My buddy saw that saw Willett playing Tuesday, and it looked like he didn't even want to be there.
Good to know.
You know what I mean? I mean, it looked like he was just – plus he's the defending champion, having to go all through all that crap, right?
Yeah.
Plus he can't even make a cut.
A lot of
problems. I think Charlie Hoffman will beat him in that matchup.
All right, well, let's round up on that one. We've got a whole bunch of different things for people to consider. They can head over to BetDSI.com, check out all the lines, get their money in, get ready to go.
And yeah, that bet
we
DSI
sit back and enjoy
everything up.
Yeah, and you got about 17 hours to figure it out.
Yep. I think you and I, Ryan, we've already figured it out.
I hope that people just take our advice and we're geniuses and we all make money.
Yeah, it'll be it's the funnest week of the year for me. I mean, I like this better than
for sure.
The U.S. Open or the PGA or any of them.
For sure. Bart, thanks for being on with us.
Okay.
We'll
have to do it again.
We will definitely do it again for the players in the U.S. Open. And
yeah, we got to make sure we do that. Last year we talked about it, but we never did it. But let's do that for sure because, I mean, we could do this all the time because you and I could talk for days about this stuff, you know.
We could do it all day.
Yep, I like it. So thanks for having me on the show, and I'll hit them straight, and let's see who wins the green jacket.
Can't wait for it. Clark, thanks again.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks again to Clark Burrows for being on the show with us. Again, we will try to have him on around the players in the U.S. Open. He is always a fun conversation. It's actually even more fun to speak with him off the recording, but it isn't dramatically different. Be sure to check out his podcast as well. Check it out on iTunes when you get a chance. Be sure to give us a 5-star review if you have the opportunity. We really appreciate it. It gives us a chance to reach more people with our show if you let people know in your circles that we don't suck. So for the rest of the week, we will potentially have a podcast with Gary Player. We're trying to figure that out. We've had an annual visit with him for each of the last couple of years, and he's been gracious to give us his time. So we're still trying to figure that out. If we do, we'll obviously post it during Masters Week for you. And then we'll have reaction for you after the Masters is over. We'll do that on Monday. So we're very excited for this week. I hope you guys are too. I hope you enjoyed our preview podcast with Clark, with Rocco Media to some extent, with Steve Elkington, with Tom Callahan. We just had an awesome run of shows, and we can't wait to keep it going with you. Reinvigorated us a little bit, and sometimes you need that when you're doing these shows, when you're doing podcasts. So thanks for all of our guests for being a part of our show. Thanks for you for listening, and we'll talk to you on Monday, maybe earlier, from the Masters, and hopefully we have a great tournament. Enjoy it, everybody.